All right, class. All right, class, said the Bible teacher. Time to pay attention. Are you listening? Are you listening? I must have your complete, undivided attention. Why? Because what I'm about to teach is at the very heart of every problem in the entire world. Yes, you heard right. In the entire world. First of all, though, I must tell you something you probably already know, but maybe you don't all understand. You must be either a believer that the King James authorized Bible is the true word of God, or a believer that one or more of the remaining 400 plus so-called Bibles out there are the true word of God now. Or that all Bibles on the face of the planet today contain portions of the word of God. And that if we put them all together as one big teaching tool from God, then we'll know all there is to know about God. In the end, if we gain enough knowledge from reading the whole lump of Bibles, then this will be sufficient for our afterlife, and God will be pleased with us. All right? Did you hear that all? Now, first of all, allow me to say this. Beware the leaven of the Pharisees. Beware the leaven of the Pharisees. And secondly, as the word of God warns, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Let's have a word of prayer before we continue. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord God, for this opportunity to deliver this message. I pray, Lord, that those who hear it, Lord, will be inspired to be drawn closer to Thee, Lord, to understand more about Thee and what Thy Word has to say. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, Jesus used the term leaven in Matthew. He used the term leaven. which compares the ways of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now, first, people, if you are a multiple Bible believer, then you are in the majority. Now, is it good to be in the majority? Well, only if the majority is going to heaven, and I doubt very much of that. In this old sin-cursed world we live in. Now, secondly, if you use one Bible to override what is said in another Bible, you are in the majority. Because that's what goes on in these megachurches today. Thirdly, if you cannot believe in Psalm 12, 6 and 7, that God's holy word is preserved forever, then you are in the majority. Fourth, if you believe that comparing scripture from one Bible with another, you are, yes, you got it, in the majority. If you believe that the Word of God is not infallible, is not inspired, is not inerrant, then guess what? You are in the majority. And because you are in the majority, hell hath been enlarged because the majority is moving in. Well, that's sad news, isn't it? You don't want to hear that. You don't want to move into hell. People, you cannot call God a liar and expect to spend eternity in heaven. And that's exactly what you're doing when you deny the inspiring, the infallibility, the inerrancy of God's precious holy word. You are calling God a liar. If you use an NIV to prove that the King James Version is inerrant, then you are calling God a liar. If you use a New King James Version to correct the King James Version, 1611, then you are telling God he didn't get it right the first time. And you are calling God a liar. If you use the NASB to override the King James Version, then you are calling God a liar. If you use the Living Bible to correct the King James Authorized Version, then you got it, you are calling God a liar. Do you not know who the real liar is here? It's not God. Are you so blind you can't see the fire for the flames? Are you so stubborn that you will not receive the truth of our living God? People, there was a day I recall so well when the old centerpiece on the dining room table was the holy and trusted Word of God. Yes, it had all the these and thous, and yes, there were and still are the publisher's parenthesis and italics to help us see clearly when a word is taken out of context. And no, these are not the original copies, but they are copies of the original copies. Did you hear what I said? These are not the original copies, but they are copies of the original copies. Now, in the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah 36, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah to take a roll of a book and write therein all the words the Lord had spoken against Israel and Judah and all nations. These words were presented to King Jehoiakim, who cut the pages with a penknife and threw them in the fire. Whew. Now, in verse 32 of Jeremiah 36, Jeremiah gave Baruch, the scribe, another role. In chapter 51, we read in verse 63 that the word of God would this time have a stone bound to it and be cast into the great river, the river Euphrates. Oh, twice, God's word was destroyed, but it is still here now in the King James 1611 Authorized Version. It's there. It's there, people. There are thousands of differences easily recognized in the hundreds or the hundreds of Bibles out there. Thousands of differences. In fact, no two are exactly the same. This means that God is not exactly the same in every one of them, right? If he was, then why would he change his mind and his word so much? Why would he leave out some words? Even whole paragraphs. Why would he use a different vernacular? Why would he contradict himself? He doesn't have to. He's God. This is the great dilemma, the great delusion in the churches of today. It seems that each church that has any hope of growing is faced with the need of its people to continue attending services. That's all they want. Packed houses. To stay longer. To listen longer. To get more involved. To give more money. And most of all, to feel comfortable in their church environment. Where does it say in the Bible you must feel comfortable to be truly saved or to truly be close with God? Where? Well, you say, what's wrong with that? Well, nothing. If it's according to the will of God. And there was a day when it was. A day when God looked at his work and called it holy before sin entered in. What happened, you may ask? Well, the people became irreverent and non-committed. They wanted everything God had to offer, but one thing they did not want was change. The Word of God says, "Be holy, for I am holy." Well, how does one become holy? Through trust and worship and obedience to the Word of God. Through trust and worship and obedience to the Word of God. You know, in the beginning, this process appeared to be very easy. We started with the basics. The basics. John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." This one verse, John 3:16, would be the staple of all Christianity. The very essence of Christianity. The crown jewels of the King of Kings. The door of entry into salvation. To believe in this one verse would open wide the gates to the kingdom of heaven. Psalm 2, verse 7. Psalm 2, verse 7. The Word of God tells us, "You are my Son. Today have I begotten you." Who's he talking about there? The God-man Jesus, that's who. Right? Is he talking about anyone else? No. How do you know? What's the key word here? In Colossians 1, verse 15, we read, "We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. He is the firstborn of every creature." He would be born of a virgin. Were you born of a virgin? He would be wounded for our transgressions. Were you wounded for our transgressions? The Word of God tells us in Romans 8:29, listen carefully, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." All right. Now, here's where the water gets deep and maybe a little murky. So pay attention, please. For all the skeptics out there, be sure to take a closer look at this verse in Romans 8:29. Listen carefully. "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate." Which came first, the chicken or the egg? Huh? The chicken, its name is foreknow. For whom he did foreknow. God foreknew every one of us who would come to him for salvation. Remember, God is omniscient, which means what? All-knowing. He knows everything, even before it happens. He knows if you're going to get saved. He knows if you're going to hell. He knows that. Now, I'm not saying he wants that, but he knows that. He is omniscient. God foreknew every one of us who would come to him for salvation. His predestination, listen carefully, his predestination is preceded by his foreknowledge. Before he predestined us to go to hell, he knew we would reject Jesus Christ and thereby go to hell. He didn't just automatically step up to the podium and said, "Well, you and you and you and you, you're all going to hell." No. He knew in advance who would reject and who would go to hell. So, his predestination is preceded by his foreknowledge. He knows who will come to him. He knows who will get saved. He knows how many mansions to prepare in glory. A friend of mine argued that we are all begotten of God. No, we aren't. There aren't any of us begotten of God. There is only one begotten of God, and that is Jesus Christ, the Son, the only begotten of the Father. We who follow, we're not begotten of God. We are adopted. Now, please get that straight. Jesus is the only begotten Son, John 1:14-18. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 18, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. John 3:18. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. What could be plainer? What could be clearer? Jesus, the second person of the Holy Trinity, was from all eternity. If we look at Isaiah 9, verse 6, perhaps we'll have a better clarification. Isaiah 9, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor. Notice that many new evangelical churches, they run the two names together and say, Wonderful Counselor. No, it's Wonderful, comma, full stop. Then Counselor, that's another one. He's wonderful, and he's also our counselor. Woo, Wonderful Counselor, which is contrary to what God meant for you to understand. Wonderful and Counselor, separated. Jesus himself identified in John 8:58 when he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. I am. Now, since the devil is the god of this world, and since we have been given a way to escape from him by the substitutionary work of Christ at Calvary, now, doesn't it make sense that this is the way to go? And what to believe? In whom to believe? The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Now, Paul and Silas said this to the unsaved Philippian jailer. Guess what? He got saved. He got saved. Now, if these words are not in your Bible, then you would not know how the Philippian jailer got saved. And you're saying to yourself, well, I don't care how he got saved. It doesn't matter. All that matters is that I'm saved. Well, that's kind of crude, isn't it? Ruthless, too? Not caring? Well, that's like saying, I don't care, the world can go to hell. But I know I'm getting saved. I'm going to heaven. Well, with an attitude like that, maybe you don't know what you think you know. So be very careful. Now, from what I can see, and I haven't read, nor do I intend to read, the 400-plus Bibles that are on the newsstands today. However, I have read and believe in the Bible of my salvation, the 1611 King James Authorized Version. I have read and believe in it. This is God's Word. I assure you, it's God's Word. And what do I base that on? The authority of God. Not on nothing I have done or said or believed, but on the authority of God's own Word. It's the Bible I got saved with. It's the Bible I live with. It's the Bible I will die with. And if I should go to hell for believing in the Word of God, as shown to me by the Holy Spirit through the King James Bible, then all I can say is, There ain't no God. There ain't no God. When I read Psalm 12, verses 6 and 7, where God's word is purified seven times in a furnace of earth, when I read that, and it's preserved from this generation forever, when I read that, God, these are words that now God gave David to write in Psalm 12. When I read it, then I have two choices. Only two. I can either accept them as they are, verbatim, by faith, or I can reject them as being victims of the printer. Victims of the printer must have worked for the devil. If I choose the latter, victims of the printer, then I have not, neither shall I, obtain the words of my salvation. For I have accused God of being a liar, like you're accusing him, he's not been able to overcome the errors of the printer. But he has. He has. His word is preserved. Now you can hand me all the excuses you want for believing that these words are not authentic and God-breathed. Say what you will. You can say, well, yeah, well, maybe. Maybe God said something like that, but there's no buts about it. He either did or he didn't. You either believe or you don't. You can't half believe. You know, it has been very difficult for the translators. Forever, the word forever is a long time. I mean, there are other Bibles that just simply omit or delete statements that are hard to verify in their minds. You know what that means? If they're hard to verify in your mind, that means faith has to kick in. That's where faith comes in. I believe by faith. I don't understand everything I see in the Bible, but I believe by faith that it is God's word. So on. In Joshua 24:15, the word of God says, choose you this day whom you will serve. My friends, there's nothing harder to verify than faith. Faith. And that's what we live by. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only what's done for Christ will last. Friends, Jesus Christ is in a class by himself, the only one of his kind, unique in that he appeared in human form, really existed from all eternity. It really did. Jesus also said, if you have seen me, then you have seen the Father. Wow. As the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ existed from eternity past. But his presence as a human being began when he was born of Mary on Christmas Day. The terms firstborn and only begotten relate to his God-man. Here's a warning. Here's a warning. All who reject the deity and full humanity of Jesus Christ are twisting the message of the Bible and will be spewed out of his mouth as the lukewarm Laodicean. You will. He'll just spew you out. You only think you're a Christian. You're not. You don't belong to him. You can't belong to him and deny him, because if you deny him, then he's not there. He doesn't exist. You got to make up your mind. Do you believe in him? Do you acknowledge him? Is this his word? Yes, no, whatever. Make up your mind. Time is short. Finally, if your Bible fails to acknowledge the preserved word of the living God, if Christ is not received as everlasting Father, if Jesus is not acknowledged as the only begotten Son of the living God, then your hope of ever entering into the glory of his kingdom does not exist. You have no hope. You will never, never be in his glory. But you will stand instead before him at the great white throne judgment, and then you will be cast into the fires of hell for all eternity, where the worm dieth not. In conclusion, what kind of person will deny our great God and his fullness? Huh? Only a Bible degenerate. I leave you with this thought. If an all-knowing and all-powerful God cannot preserve his word, then how can he preserve our soul? May God have mercy.